Would you give your mum, dad, aunt or that uncle who hugged your partner a little too long free access to your phone?
Oh, no!
Oh, my God, it's a really long video. Ew!
In Dave's brand new YouTube original, Get Off My Phone, we've got six comedians to give their phones over to a relative with total freedom to read messages, DMs, photos and browser history.
Where's your search history?
Sorry?
What to do, tips for relief.
The rules are simple. Their relative can read anything they want and even make calls from the comedian's phone.
What is this?
What is... I don't want this one.
That looks really bad.
Starring Tanya Moore, Anya Magliano, Finlay Christie, Travis J with his mum Angie Lamar, Hayley Morris, Grace Campbell and dad Alistair Campbell.
Slightly sexually compromising
people. Divulging their deepest digital secrets.
What the hell is happening?
Get Off My Phone, a Dave YouTube original. Available now on Dave's YouTube channel.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Magic Sponge. Rob Beckett, Ian Smith and Jimmy Ballard.
Hello, boys.
Nice to see you again.
Yeah, it's been a while.
It has, hasn't it? And our guest this week is Jeff Winter.
Jeffrey! Welcome, Sam.
Our first referee on the show.
And probably the last.
I can't believe we got a referee on the show, boys.
It's exciting having a ref.
I can't believe it.
Ecstatic.
I've already seen his skin. He's very thick-skinned. I suppose that to be over the
years.
Yeah,
you've got to be, haven't you?
You've got to be thick and thick-skinned. I think I'd probably qualify on both counts. In fact, I could have been a footballer on that thick.
Fucking, he's already started. I'm going to absolutely slaughter
you. When I was a kid,
well, most of them are. I mean, I listened to that show last week with Dean Windass. My God, he is not the brightest individual, is he?
No.
In fairness.
No.
Lovely lad. Lovely lad.
He had quite a rude message for you.
Yeah, go on.
Just like, I can't remember it fully, but I feel bad saying it because it was just called you like...
I wouldn't. He just called you a fat fucker.
Well, there's no wrong with his eyesight then, is there?
Jeff, you were a Premier League referee and you took charge of the 2004 Cup Final.
Yeah, I did indeed.
And you've written an autobiography called Who's the Bastard in the Black?
We've got to earn a living, you know. Referees, when they're finished, they're not as affluent or effluent as footballers, so they've got to eke an existence out. And it's that bad. I'm even working on the after-dinner circuit with the legendary Dean Windass.
Oh, you said that? What's that like, the after-dinner circuit with all the footballers?
It's good fun, actually. I mean, you tend to work with a comedian, but then Dean qualifies on both counts. unless it's one of the bigger dinners. But, you know, when you're working with the likes of Dean, different class, quality, great stories, and we rip each other to shreds, and we earn a meagre crust, so everyone's a winner.
That's all right, isn't it? We've got some tweets and stuff in. This is from James Burrell. It says, been the producer and bring back Peregrine. Peregrine. Our producer Sam's not happy with that. Peregrine wasn't even the... Producer. Sound man.
No, but I
think
sound man.
He's a nice enough bloke, but I think people only really like him because of his name.
Yeah, his name. And we peppered him, didn't we?
We had a sound man.
I wasn't even
Peregrine.
There for that one. Very do you know nice. What Peregrine is?
There's a few people called Peregrine in Middlesbrough. Junior school, there was a lot of kids called Giles and Peregrine and double babbled names.
Really?
No.
Oh, okay. No, just a flat no with that one. Also, as well, Paul Bergen said, Jeff Winter, good luck with Jimmy Bullard. You're going to need it.
He's all right, Jimmy. There was never any problems with him on a pitch.
Now, is he all right?
He's a, he was a baby. He was lovely.
Who's the worst person?
I was.
How long is the sun for?
We've got enough time, I reckon, mate.
I don't think so, to go through some of the arseholes that I had to deal with in my
who's the,
time.
Yeah, who's the biggest arse of a player?
One of them. Jeff,
really struggled refereeing. Do you get what I mean? Always played that.
Danny Mills.
Oh, yeah. Really?
I struggled with Danny. I think I sent him off at Arsenal one time, and after that...
He copped it.
He just had no respect for me, and I had no respect for him. And about a year ago, I came down to London to do one of these TV shows, and Sam Allardyce... John Barnes, and they said, it's going to be a footballer on. And the day before, they told me it was Danny. I thought, oh, this is going to be wonderful. And in fairness, when we got in the studio, like is often the case, once you go over the white line, you lot, you change into different people, don't you, Jimmy?
Yeah. No,
and when you meet people, referees don't really meet footballers until after they've retired, like on the dinner circuit.
It's weird that, isn't it?
It is. Well, I mean, you're not going to go into the bar after the game with them, that sort of thing. It doesn't work that way. After a game, it's just a recipe for disaster, especially after the fucking decisions I used to make. When you get to meet people away from the game, remember Alan Smith, Leeds United, Man United, yeah. Newcastle United?
I played with him at MK Dons, yeah.
Yeah, he, on the football pitch, was as obnoxious an individual as you wish to meet. He was horrible.
What a lovely...
Off the pitch. You couldn't get a word out of him. Polite. I met him at a social do once. Polite, lovely lad. The minute he went over that white line, it's like
he's
someone
really
flicks...
He's a quiet fella.
He is, yeah.
Unbelievable. I was with him a few months at MK Dons, my small time spent down there. Unbelievable. Exactly what he just said. And then goes over the white line. He's an animal.
Yeah.
But did you ever referee Michael Brown?
Yeah, was Hartlepool lad from up map.
Where? Really?
Yeah.
Nicest fella, like family life, family man. Crossed the white line. Once, he was at Old Trafford. I couldn't believe this. Sorry to interrupt, Jeff. But Michael Brown, Old Trafford's got a small... The line's there, and it's literally you fall off, don't you?
Yeah.
You're right by the red grass. It's like hardly... You've got like 3 foot. Yeah. He's gone sliding tackle through Giggsy. Both took him into advertising. It was a fair tackle, to be fair. Took him into advertising balls on the red grass. As he's got up, he's just stamped on Giggsy's chest out of all the players at Old Trafford. I'm like, what are you doing, Brown? He's like, I don't know, I just... had to do it. Like, you just stamped on him, smashed him in the chest. And then afterwards, I seen Giggsy at the tunnel. I said, oh, Brown, he's like in the change room, his head's in his hand. He knows what he's done there. And Giggsy just wanted to kill him.
Oh, really?
But Brown, he just didn't want to come out of the change room. That's the two sides you had to. He was so soft and he just knew what he'd done. He said, I just can't help it, Jim. Like, when I'm on the pitch, he just goes over the top. But that's what he's like. Like, some players I've played with, just animals, yeah. Just, I think it's the winning mentality in them.
Yeah.
They switch, you know what I mean? Everything's a must win. They go to ridiculous lengths to win a game or to put things in their favour, you know? But yeah, he was the worst one I've ever been with, Brownie.
What do you do the rest of the week, though, as a ref? Because game on a Saturday, do you do any prep? Obviously, you have to keep fit.
Well, in the last 3 years of my career, we went full time, so we were training just like the players, and it was fantastic, you know? Yeah. In mid-40s, fitter than I'd ever been in my life, and getting paid to be involved with the game we loved. But prior to that, and like the lads who are refereeing Football League and that now, they've got full-time jobs.
Yeah.
So it's training on a morning, lunchtime, night. But to be a full-time, I mean, the only reason I became a referee was because I was crap at playing football.
Is it like a hierarchy of linesmen? Because they're just sort of like... Are they just shit refs?
Linesmen refs now, don't they?
Yeah, it's a progression. You start off and you come up the ladder and you're always like running the line at the level below where you hope to get to. So, like, I was on the Football League line for 6 years. And then, obviously, because there's only a fewer number of refs at the top, they don't get through. But, and some of them are, like, specialists. You know, they're better at running the line than they'd ever be at refing. But no, the bitchiness though in refereeing,
I thought like that. What's it like between the other
refs? It is absolutely murder. Because, you know, Jimmy might have been able to play right side of midfield, left side of midfield. Yeah. He could be on the bench and come on. There's only one bloke going to referee the game.
It's like goalkeepers.
And, and when it came round to the big matches, you think, it's the Manchester Derby coming up. I want that one. And when it come to cup finals and one thing and another, it was a nightmare.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You're all trained together. There's all the banter together. But it's man eat man, dog eat dog.
Knowing what you're like, Jeff, how would you struggle reffing there? You know, with all
looking
the...
in the mirror, I definitely struggle.
No, you know what I mean. Yeah. With all no,
seriously,
scope on them,
the great thing on the speaking circuit, you speak to loads of people like yourself that careers are over and the game has changed.
Yeah.
You know, the refs now are fitter than they've ever been, but the game is so much faster. And, you know, in our day, yes, players dived, players look to get one over on the ref, but not like it is now. You know, you can watch incidents on the telly 10 times over, and I'm still not sure.
Yeah.
I am watching it on the telly, and you look at it from every slow motion angle and everything else. So, in all honesty, Jimmy, I think we had the good days in terms of reffing. It's hard now.
I do think
very
there
hard.
Some refs, to be honest.
Is there any refs that you didn't like when you was in?
Oh, yes.
You used to have run-ins with them?
Well, can I sing a little song that the fans used to sing?
Cool.
Oh, Graham Pole is a fucking asshole. And that was a song that the fans used to sing, and you know, in fairness, they were right. How did you get on with him? Didn't you
all
much...
right, no, Graham Pole, I got on
well,
with
him. Well,
he's
the same
honest.
As you. You Southern wankers will all stick together.
No,
you?
I'll tell you what it is. I never got too much involved with refs. I just used to play my own game and concentrate, and even with other players, as I've said on this show before. But yeah, I've had some dodgy refs, but it didn't bother me. Decisions never bothered me that much. I've been with players where it's the be-all and end-all. They will go out to affect a referee.
Yeah.
And it's just like, what the fuck are you getting at?
Well, you see,
that?
The thing is, it's like Dino we had on last week. Dino and I had a great relationship on the pitch. He'd run up to me, give us a mouthful, and I'd tell him to fuck off.
Yeah.
Now, in those days, that was great.
Imagine now, though, with
but
the mics on.
Today, I wouldn't you asked the question, how would I have done today? You know, man management, footballers, the money they're on, the status they've got.
Yeah.
They don't want a school teacher lecturing them and telling them, you do that again, I'm going to send you off.
Mm.
You know, a bit of banter, a bit of crack, you got a lot more respect.
Yeah.
But, you know, and things were said that perhaps shouldn't have been said. You can't very well send a player off for bad language when you've just told him to fuck off.
Well, what's the worst thing the player's ever said to you?
Oh, everything.
Or that you've ever said to a player?
Oh, even worse. You know,
a C-bomb chucked at you quite a bit.
No, well, not really. Not really. You know,
the C-bomb would prick your ears, wouldn't
it? Yeah, you know, or but you see that on the telly. You see them doing it now. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, as we get older, we get a little bit senile. I'm thinking, did they used to talk to me like that?
Yeah.
But, you know, NC would run up to me and give me a mouthful and I'd say, just fuck off. You know, you're not having such a good game yourself. If I'd wanted an earache, I'd have stopped him with the missus. Now fucking get on with your game. And then obviously they pull you when you get a throw in wrong, and the next time someone has a shot at goal, you just run past them and go, that was fucking pants. And that was the sort of, now there are people in authority who say, oh, you can't do that, but you got to respect that way. You had a bit of banter. The thing with some referees is they think they're popular.
Yeah.
Referees, they're like traffic wardens, they're like the ugly sisters in the pantomime. Yeah. They're there not to be liked. The best you can hope for is to be respected. And I always think that if you treat people like human beings, have a little bit of banter with them. If you've made a mistake, hold your hands up and say, I think I might have got that one wrong. And Jimmy would say, you fucking well did.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's done its history. You haven't done it deliberately.
Yeah.
And if you've got a sort of a human approach and can talk to people, you know, there's got to be consistency. I understand that. But, you know, card.
That's like Dean Windass's game for Aberdeen, isn't it, that?
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a match report on
Dino
that
Dino was great to have on the pitch. Because if you can control Dino and have a bit of banter with him,
everyone else falls in line.
Yeah.
Exactly. Were you saying about some of your like teammates would go out to try and get in the ref's head? Who was it we used to try
just
and...
affect, like Brownie would be one.
Because John Fashioner used to.
When I was at West Ham, De Canio would always affect.
But
the
you knew your refs, didn't you?
Yeah,
you would know which refs you could do it though, and which ones you couldn't.
Danny Murphy, first thing he done, open a programme, who's refing it?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
First thing, who's refing this? Oh, fuck.
And within clubs,
I didn't even bother me. It wouldn't affect me that. It wouldn't affect me 1%.
I'll tell you, some of the managers would know. The clubs would
him
know.
Him and Roy
definitely,
used to go to
definitely.
Each other. He was
Roy
catching.
Hudson.
Him and Roy used to go, him. They reffed us last time here, mate. It's just a nightmare. Let some some people... Here, look. And he was a captain, and he would go out and try and affect a referee, or it'd make an issue of... It didn't bother me. Like, Danny had grabbed a strike and go, tell you what, this ref week, he didn't give us a few last week. He knows it's in his... He didn't give us a few weeks before. Go over in the box. go over in a box and I'll get straight in his ear hole. First 5 minutes, all of a sudden he's under the cosh.
Yeah.
Do you get what I mean? Little things go over a second
and then
time.
And the crowd are
yeah,
all
and all of a sudden, hearing. Do it three times, the rest are like, he's half got it in his mouth, hasn't he? He's yeah. like...
He's I've got to give one of them.
And subconsciously, you know, people always say to me, well, do you get swayed when you're at Old Trafford or Anfield or the Emirates or wherever? Subconsciously, I'd say, no, you don't.
No.
The ref is strong. He gives everything the way he sees it.
But
subconsciously, who knows what happens?
Yeah.
And, you know, there are, I mean, that's why...
It must affect you. You've got 75,000 people.
Of course it would.
Or compared to like an half-full like Stoke ground or a Burnley ground.
You imagine, Rob, if there's a penalty you haven't given, there's another one you haven't given, then all of a sudden,
there's one...
You're
yeah, 80,000 people. Mm. Roy Keane and Giggs
running
that. Every
normal person in the world's got to be like, I've got to give that.
Yeah, exactly.
I've got to have one out of three.
If
be
I was
right.
a ref and the match was boring, I'd give a penalty just to liven it up. That is some shit.
Jeff
come
used
on.
To do that all the time.
Every time. I was never close enough to the penalty out to see whether it was a penalty or not.
Do you get any groupies?
Lords.
Ref groupies.
Yeah.
I don't know, you know, because there's like women that love footballers.
Yeah.
Is it like a small
squad
niche group that love
is.
Refs?
I reckon
there's a few, isn't it, walking around. Get your whistle out. Give her a card.
I've got to be honest. Well, you think about a woman.
Why do you pull your shorts so high up? They've not wearing the pitch like Humpty Dumpty, do they?
So we go back to the first subject.
That's what they like. They like the ice shorts.
Well, you think there could just be a woman out there who likes a little bit of domination and wants to be bossed around the bedroom. So I have dished a few cards out to be time like.
Oh, have
what?
You?
In the bedroom?
Oh, yes, definitely.
What's an animal?
What do you mean?
Not doing what they want you to do, you know what I mean?
So do you always have
you make a polite request.
You got
yeah.
He's got yellow and red cards.
Yeah, they're my business cards, actually.
Oh, are they?
How original.
So how do you choose who gets a yellow and a red? Like
in the bedroom, we're talking about the football pitch.
No, but you're giving out your business cards.
Well, I give them both, because one's got some details and one's got the other.
Oh, OK. Oh,
two business cards.
Oh, I'll tell you something.
So are there groupies? Oh, so I'll tell you.
He's thinking of what benefit on earth is there on becoming a referee. The strangest thing, and you'll have seen these, you go to a football ground 2 hours before kickoff. Every ground in the country at every level, there is always a number of blokes stood there, usually 50s, 40s, 50s, yep. Probably still living at home with the mums. And they are... Not so much referee groupies, but football groupies.
Yeah, yeah. They're the anoraks.
They're the anoraks. And I love these people because they keep the 92 club. They've been to every ground.
They show you the pictures that he brought back from 1960s.
Well, this is the thing that's absolutely amazing. I now do, I follow Middlesbrough in the Championship, hopefully the Premiership before much longer. And I'll go to a ground and somebody somewhere has actually sussed out we're playing Middlesbrough this week. Jeff Winter follows Middlesbrough around and arrive at the ground with our press boys 2 hours before kickoff, and somebody comes across to you, and like Jimmy says, they open a folder and there was these little cards they brought out, like a
little Jeff Winter of ice shorts running around.
I tell you something, I've got one. Look, got one. Someone give me this. It's a game, match incident that used to be like a card game. Sabutio squads.
Oh, wow.
And...
Is it the winner?
Yeah.
It's the thin winter
I'm
in
sure
shorts.
Pieces
somebody give me
down
that.
Look at your hair as well.
And it's like military.
And they've got photographs of you. I finished refereeing 11 years ago, and they're there at the ground with all this sort of gear.
Unbelievable.
It's amazing.
Now, they're probably not the sort of groupies you were talking about, but they're there as well.
Your signature looks like the symbol that like drug dealers put outside their house.
Well, you've got to learn to earn a living.
Ian, you've got your quiz for Jeff.
Oh, dear.
Here we go. This is to test your refereeing knowledge. These are some unusual
I'll save you messing about with the score and just put nil down.
Well, we'll see.
Oh, no, we're doing it probably.
Well, let's just skip the quiz and go home.
All right, don't spit your dummy out. You've wasted 5 minutes of your life preparing these questions. Now you're having a pop at me.
Well, 5 minutes is overdoing it a bit, isn't it? You're overestimating how much I care about refereeing rules. This is a one, like, Wikipedia article. Here we go, seeing as everyone's so enthusiastic. What would happen if a team scored an own goal direct from a free kick?
Can't score against yourself from a free kick.
Ah, yes, but what would happen? Yeah, I know you can, and it would be a bit of a dumb move. But if it does happen, it's possible to happen.
Right, okay.
But what then would you do as referee? You can't just go, this hasn't happened, because it has.
So somebody's took a free kick, passed it back to the keeper, and it's gone past the keeper and gone into the net.
Yeah, someone's kicked
so
a direct free
you don't allow
kick.
The goal, you're talking about how does the game restart.
Yeah, what happens?
Ooh.
So the goal doesn't start, no. Right, okay.
I would say...
Drop ball? Any excuse for a drop ball, innit?
Rob's you're pressuring him.
Fucking drop ball, ref. Come on, you fucking up.
Play on!
It's more ball.
Get in there. Get in the fucking net. Play on.
What are you doing?
Tony Rush.
What
are
you
doing?
You run across to your linesman and then blame him for not watching it. Give a corner kick.
Give a fucking corner
kick. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Win a
nail. I'll tell you something.
Hang on.
It's nonsense.
It goes in the fucking goal. You go, corner.
I'll tell you something.
Who's made that? That's that Zep fella who owns FIFA. He's fucking owns
Zep.
Zep
Blatter.
Zep Blatter.
Fucking, he's not from Rainbow.
Zep, hey.
Until I waffled a bit and had a little bit of a thing, I didn't know the answer to it either, but there you go.
You've just been wintered, football.
Go on, you've got another one like that one.
Yeah.
Fucking hell, Smith. This is the best quiz you've ever done.
Good smudger! See, that's on your ass.
He's fucking back. That's why we've got him.
You know, last week Dino had a go at him and said, how does he earn his money?
Yeah, this is how he earns his
money. It's affected him. Window, what he's done to me as a football player back in the day, window has affected you.
It got in your head and whacked your wicked.
That's why you've come back.
Out.
Go on. Yeah. Get your
4 minutes online. Right, here we go. I'm teeming with arrogance now. What is a goalkeeper not allowed to do fashion-wise while punching a ball? Yeah, well, you're saying it like I'm a dick, but this is a rule.
You are a fucking dick.
What can a goalkeeper not do while punching the ball out in a crowd of players? And the clue is it's to do with fashion.
Right.
Ooh, silence on the podcast.
Yeah.
So if he punches the ball out,
can he not take
his gloves off and punch it?
Well, yeah, I mean, there's something... I guess he probably could,
Do you know that one, Jim?
A goalkeeper's allowed to take their gloves off.
I think I might have known the answer if he hadn't said something to do with fashion, I'm starting to think.
A goalkeeper's allowed to take their gloves off.
Well, what are you thinking? What do you think is the answer? Disregard the fashion
thing.
So what,
he comes up, punches
yourself.
The ball.
Right, so the crowd of players, goalkeeper, he's punching the ball out. What is he not allowed to?
Well, what he's not allowed to do that's absolutely naff all to do with fashion. He's not allowed to shout my ball or anything like that.
He's not allowed to take his glove off.
It's not to do with gloves and it's not to do with shouting.
Pull his shirt up.
Fucking
not allowed to pull the shirt out because you've got short sleeves.
Not allowed to pull your sleeves up because that way the referee can tell who has punched the ball, if it's a player or a goalkeeper.
I was thinking that, but it is bullshit, by the way. I agree with you, Jimmy. Because
wasn't it
Lionel Perez or someone used to wear those cat short sleeved shirts?
Yeah, but he painted his arms.
You're such a freak.
You know, your first question was so good, but that was shite.
No, it wasn't.
That's when the referee.
One more, you got one more.
That's a yellow card, by the way.
Yeah, I've got
also, are you allowed to take your gloves off as a goalkeeper?
Yeah.
During the match?
Yeah, gloves are optional.
But what if
he
took them off and left them on the pitch?
Jeff's face when you're asking, he's looking at you like a patient chick.
If I was a goalkeeper, right? And maybe, imagine if, like, the ball's gone past me, it's trickling in the net, and I take my gloves off and throw it at the ball and it stops it from going in.
Yeah.
What happens there?
Unsporting behaviour. Yellow card, but that is classed. Remember the old beach ball?
Yeah.
It's classed as an outside interference, so if the ball doesn't go over the line, all you can do is
yellow
drop
card.
Ball.
Is there a limit to the size of your gloves?
Huge balls of warm gloves.
Well, obviously not a limit to
Kenny Everett ones, about 6 foot.
Yeah, but is there a limit?
I would have thought there are standard sizes, so if somebody goes out there with 12-foot dangling fingers...
Otherwise you could have,
I
don't know whether that...
Hands is in!
So that was wrong, that answer?
Oh, I'm not having that.
Right.
That's dissent from the referee, by the way.
What are you not allowed to do to try and avoid doing a back pass? So you want to?
I know.
Yeah. Oh, here we go. This one's easy.
I know. Say you can actually, in normal course of play, you can knee it back to the goalkeeper or hit it with your thigh.
Yeah.
So if you've got the ball in your possession and you can't pass it back to the goalkeeper, you can't flick it up and head it back or chest it back or knee it back.
You can't tell you someone,
what
trick.
A referee I would have been if I
so
was any good.
So you can flick it up and head it back?
No, you're not allowed, to flick it up and head it.
You're circumventing the laws of football.
Or like get an off ball and like roll
so
it.
So what would happen if you did that?
Free kick.
Indirect free kick and a yellow card.
Then they'd let it back to me and I'd whip it in the stand.
You'd get a yellow card. And because it's my own goal, it goes for a corner.
I can do corners too!
When can referees book players?
When they play out.
It's a big... Yeah, you are looking
when
at me
can
now.
The...
When, yeah.
I know what you mean. I'll tell you something. Your questions are absolutely garbage.
No, they're not garbage. Everyone's looking puzzled, which is a sign of a good question.
Yeah, the good question.
If everyone answers it immediately, it's not a question.
The simple answer would be after he's committed an offence, but what I think you're looking for is...
Well, the answer.
The answer. And it is from the minute he arrives at the ground until the time he leaves the ground.
The ground? So he's having that as a shit and frozen
ground.
So,
hang on. So. Witness thinks he's got it, but he's fucked himself here.
Right.
Leaves the ground.
I've got to be quite honest with you. I've fucked myself a few times. But I seem to remember a professional footballer who actually got booked, so to speak, for an incident that happened in the car park after a game. And I feel as if he's had more mentions on this fucking show where I'm supposed to be the guest than he did when he was on last week.
Dean Windass got booked in the car park.
He got booked in the car park after a game, which answers your question, I hope, because after the game, the ref's going to his car and Dino's gone across and given him an absolute mouthful and commented on how well he thought he'd refereed.
Don't tell me the referee in the car park has got the book out.
No, no.
Yeah, I can't.
I think no one around watching it happening.
He's so good.
I think they called the ref Darren Drysdale. He didn't show him the yellow card in the car park, but he did report him for the comments he passed. And he got done. He got a suspension. Okay. So from the minute he arrives at the ground until he leaves after
that's
the match.
Actually, the wrong answer. The
fuck
answer,
off.
The
I've
answer,
told you the right answer.
No, no.
Fuck off.
The answer it says here is...
Not dealing with Paul Ince now, Jeff.
Up to 6 weeks after the game, and then it brackets, including even if they've gone on holiday in summer, so like in Barbados if they run into each other.
Now you're talking complete and utter
bollocks.
That's
what it says. That's what it says.
What about 11 years after the finished refereeing? Cause
no, 6 months.
Oh, it's
six
a pity. There's a few I'd go back
six
and
months,
do
so
now.
That was quite a good question. I think that was good, Ian.
Thank you.
I think it's a wonderful question, but I just think it's bollocks and he just made it up.
Do you have to deal with mascots? They're normally in the photos with the refs before, aren't they?
Oh, yeah. And the one thing, Carrot, I don't know whether you remember this, Jimmy, the one thing about mascots, you think about it, that the blokes, or whatever they are underneath, you never get to see them. And they're in this stinking, sweaty, great big hairy thing that sits in a mucky hole. It gets soaked one Saturday, then sits in a cupboard for 2 weeks, and they stink. What you used to do at the kickoff, they'd come up to you, obviously, shake hands with the mascot. There was one particular club, Preston North End.
Yeah.
And they've got, I don't know what he's supposed to be, but he used to come up to you, and it absolutely stank. It was like, stomach turning. And you never see them.
Why don't you just wash it?
There could be bank managers.
Yeah, you've got a big old washing machine to get a bee's head in.
There used to be one, I think, Wimbledon or Crystal Palace or something. There was actually a bank manager in the week. And on a Saturday, he became the club mascot. But getting back to Preston, there's this gadgie there. And he
gadgie? What's gadgie?
It's a northern term for a man, gadgie.
Oh, okay.
Right?
And
he absolutely stinks. So... that's it. You never see him again until the next time you're at
but
Preston.
Just always stinks every time.
A couple of years later, when I'd finished reffing, and I went on the circuit, and I'm at a dinner in Lancashire area near Preston, and people are coming up at the end, and a bloke comes up to me, suit and tie, and he says to me, "Bet you don't know who I am." I said, "Go on then." He says, "You've met me before on several occasions." And my nose just twitched. And I thought to myself, I recognise this smell. And he turned around to me and says, "Go on then, do you know who I am?" I said,
you wouldn't happen to be the mascot of Preston North End, would you? And his face went white. He just couldn't believe me. How on earth did you know that?
Because you fucking stink.
I thought, that's him. And if you think I'm a fat bastard, look at him. And I'll tell you something.
Is that him?
It absolutely fell into place. This is 3 years after I'd stopped refereeing. I just went. And I
what
thought,
is he?
It's that stench. So obviously, I'd been blaming the mascot's
just
outfit.
Up, at him,
it wasn't the mascot's outfit, it was him. And when you see the picture,
it's a funny picture,
you can actually assume that he would smell a bit, can't you?
Yeah. He's like a raven, isn't he?
I mean, if he gets sweaty,
yeah, he's like a duck or a raven. Or...
So.
You recognised him from his smell?
I recognised him from his smell. So when, you know, people say, you don't know who the mascot is, I sussed him out. I outed him in front of it, and he was gutted because all these people in the room who didn't even know he was the mascot as
really?
Well, I outed him.
Do you think mascots are like, they can't get referee jobs?
They're weirdos.
Like, I think they could well be.
Can't be a referee.
Now, you see, you've sussed
mascot.
It out now. That's why since I've stopped running around, I've porked it up a bit because my new ambition in life... Now that groupies are no longer interested in me, is to be dressed as. I want to be a Middlesbrough. I want to be Rory the Lion.
Is that they are?
That's a good one. Arsenal and Ganosaurus. Dinosaur, awful.
Yeah.
Ganosaurus.
So there you are. You've two ways to look at it. Either if you're crap at being a mascot, you can become a referee. If you're crap at being a referee, you can become a mascot.
What about using mics and cameras like on the ref? You know, like they're doing rugby. They trialled that once, didn't they? By micing them up so that the TV crews could hear with David
Funnily,
Ellery.
David Ellery, QPR Arsenal,
well, yeah,
100 years
an
ago.
An amazing bit where Tony Adams,
yeah.
This clip that basically
you fucking
what,
cheat.
He went, you fucking cheat. And then he went, look here, Tony, come here. I'm not a cheat. Yeah, I may be useless, but I'm not a cheat, okay? Because a posh, like, boarding school
Which
teacher,
I don't honestly think did much for the image of referees.
Yeah, you fucking cheat. He went, look here, Tony.
I mean, people have talked about really. That. They said if the refs were mic'd up, it would actually help player behaviour.
Yeah.
But we've talked about Alan Smith going over the white line. Jimmy, if you've in that moment of dissent where you're having
you
a go at
you
a
don't
ref,
think he's got a mic on.
You don't think, oh, he's got a mic on, I'm not going to do
well,
it.
I'll tell you what, great viewing now.
Yeah, exactly. But like great rugby, they do it. And if anyone's in the zone of like red mist, it's rugby, isn't it?
Yeah, but rugby's a different game. It's played by different people. And
yeah, they'll kiss each other, don't they?
Yeah, they're all nice people, not like footballers. Horrible individuals. Yeah.
Fucking complete horrible.
Scallies.
Money complete. Hungry. Fucking tossers.
Is anything else? Any cover? Anything else you want to get off your chest while you're here, Jeff?
It's
like your confessional.
Well, the one question I do get asked sometimes, and it's probably just the right sort of level of subject for this show, was
shitting and wanking.
Well, you're right on the first bit.
Okay.
We'll leave the we've covered the referee's a wanker, but we'll move on to the shit bit. People ask you that very pertinent question as to, you know, when you're out there in the middle of the game, have you ever wanted to go for a piss?
Yeah.
Or even worse.
I do, yeah.
Well, the piss is easy. You can do that down the side of your leg at a moment in play.
Have you ever done that?
I don't think I have, in fairness.
Right, okay. Do referees do that?
I don't know.
Because if I saw that on a referee, and you'd be like...
Mate, I mean,
ref could not get away with pissing himself in the middle of the pitch. I mean,
you see,
it depends how you do it. If you pull down your shorts...
Somebody's sweaty thigh.
If you pull down your shorts, lob it out and piss in the centre circle, there's a fair chance you're going to get outed.
Yeah.
But if you're just at a convenient moment when the corner kick's being taken, piss down the side of your leg, then you might get away with that, in fairness.
Because Gary Lineker done a shit, didn't he?
I'm talking about the number two problem, not the number one problem. And some said, have you ever had that? You know, in the middle of a game at
bad
Chelsea,
bad
guts, and you wanted a dump. And I've said, you know, that's a strange question. Was it one of yours, Ian, by the way? that's a strange question. Can't answer that one. But it happened pre-season friendly. Billingham Town versus Darlington.
Big match.
Excuse me. Have you ever refereed in the Northern League? Hell of a big game, that. Billingham Town versus Darlington. And halfway through the first half, you know, you must have had this as a player, Jimmy, where you get a little bit of a rumble. And you think,
I didn't know.
Didn't I? And you think that it was bad guts.
You always go before.
Well, you always go before, but this day was bad guts. And we're about 20, 25 minutes into the first half, and you get that rumble. And you look at your watch and you go, fucking hell. I'm not going to last 25 minutes. But sometimes, you know, like you go run through the pain barrier.
Yeah, but
you can also run through the crap barrier. Yeah. And then the intensity. I know what a woman must feel like with childbirth now. When, you know, it comes round a little bit quicker. A little bit quicker. And heavy breathing doesn't stop it. And when it look at me watch, fucking hell, 35 minutes. I know it's only a friendly. I can't blow up and go off this early. I can't. So there's a stoppage in play. The trainers come on to deal with a player. I've ran across to the line. Young lad running the line for us, get experience. Shot him the whistle, took his flag. I said, go on, game's a doddle. Go on, you do the last 10 minutes. Give me a chance to see if you can cope at this level. Oh, thanks, Jeff. He runs off into the middle. I don't go on the line, straight down the tunnel, just to say, get into the bogs in time in the referee's office, referee's changing room. Phew. Compose myself, back out, onto the line, continue running the line for a few minutes. Half time, coming off, the line also, the lad who's going in the middle says, oh, thanks for that, Jeff. I really appreciated that. One of the club officials said to me, why did you go off, Jeff? You're the referee. And I said, oh, I'll be quite honest, my lace had snapped. And I said, I wasn't going to fanny about.
Is that a northern term for having
no,
shit?
It's your lace had snapped.
Oh, okay.
It's what is known as a northern term for a lie. And I've said, no, my lace snapped and I wasn't going to fanny about holding the game off. So I've gone off, changed laces. And we're having this conversation as we're going down the tunnel, turned into the little avenue there and into the dressing room. As we opened the dressing room door, the wall came out, that wall of sound and smell. And the fourth official turned round and said, I didn't know snapped laces smelt of shite. So that was, fortunately, that embarrassing situation happened in a pre-season friendly at Billingham Town, as opposed to
FA Cup final.
FA Cup final in front of 80,000 and so many billion views.
Amazing.
So that was.
The other thing is, do you watch Game of Thrones?
I don't know.
Because there's a saying in it called winter is coming. I reckon when you do your after dinner speeches, you should have like, winter is coming, and all that, and all the music, and then you walk on your stage
In fairness, it's a long time since winter was coming, so. I know the funniest one I've got recently. There's somebody turned up at a game, one of the press guys, and there's this. They took the photocopy and brought it along, and it was this like Indian porn star actor, and he was a fucking dead ringer for me. And I thought, they've sussed me.
Indian porn star actor.
I don't know where they'd got it, obviously, off one of those dubious channels. There he was, the little goatee that has long gone since it started having grey and ginger bits in it.
Yeah, you've got no goatee anymore, it's disappointing. No,
I know, because once it goes grey and ginger, it's like Hulk loses
Hogan.
Its appeal.
Dean wants to go out of the pub.
Yeah. Thanks for coming on, mate. Thanks for being a good sport.
Cheers, Jeff.
Right, we'll be back next week. We haven't got a guest sorted yet, have we?
Kev Gallen,
if he's about. No, we're no guests yet. It's going to be a surprise. It's only because we haven't booked him yet.
Get Mark Crossley down. He's a good lad.
We might try and get Mark Crossley. Or let us know any requests of people you want us to get on. And then if they're cheap enough, we'll get them on.
Here, I thought we were here because of our quality.
Also, as well, we should say, please subscribe and rate it and do comments because that helps us get up the leaderboard. And tweet about it.
Just do everything you can to help us, really.
Thanks, guys.
Even phone like Jeff just did.
Yeah, send him a text message.
Send a text to remind him. Right, see you later.
Bye. Bye.
The Magic Sponge is a Pixiu production for Dave and is produced by Sam Pearson.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Would you give your mum, dad, aunt, or that uncle who hugged your partner a little too long free access to your phone?
Oh, no! Oh, my God, it's a really long video. Ew!
In Dave's brand new YouTube original, Get Off My Phone, we've got six comedians to give their phones over to a relative with total freedom to read messages, DMs, photos, and browser history.
Where's your social history?
Sorry?
What to do, tips for relief.
The rules are simple. Their relative can read anything they want and even make calls from the comedian's phone.
What is this? What is...
I know what this one is.
That looks really bad.
Starring Tanya Moore, Anya Magliano, Finlay Christie, Travis J with his mum Angie Lamar, Hayley Morris, Grace Campbell and dad Alistair Campbell.
Slightly sexually compromising people.
Divulging their deepest digital secrets.
What the hell is happening?
Get Off My Phone, a Dave YouTube original. Available now on Dave's YouTube channel.